I'd like to open your Bibles to 1 John 2 as we travel through here. We're going to be looking at verses 18 to 27. We won't read them, we'll read them as we get through the message. But the series is The Believer's Fullness of Joy, and today we're looking at wolves in sheep clothing. Wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, it wasn't that long ago when something new happened, people talked about it. They really, you know, it was the news on everyone's lip. And I've shared this before, I think, but I remember back in high school, this boy, he everyone knew who he was. His father was a scientist, so everyone thought he was a real clever cookie. And he came to school and he had two pieces of glass, only small pieces of glass, and he was going like this with them. And we're going, wow, what's going on here? And there was a big crowd around him. And he said, do you know how I do this? I said, no, I don't know how you do it. He said, it's called silicon. So that's the first time we'd ever heard of silicon joining glass together. Incredible. It was amazing. We were still using push-button things to add numbers up. We didn't even have calculators in those days. Everything was new. Inventions were newsworthy. Now, you probably know this, the first mobile phone was so heavy and big that had to be carried around in a car. It was like a big suitcase. That's how big the thing was. Incredible. Today, nothing seems new. Whatever's the latest is just the latest. No one pays any attention to it. But there was a time when society used to be governed by biblical principles. That's what ran society. The world ran on the principles of the Bible. It may not have been Christian in its heart, but it still used the principles of the Bible. And it's news when society wanted to get outside the biblical principles, that was real news. That was real news. But today, the opposite is true. It's news if anyone wants to live by biblical principles. If they want biblical principles to govern society, it's for front page news. You know, for the true believer, this is not news at all, because this is just nothing more than the fulfillment of God's word. And the real problem today isn't so much the way the world is heading, because God has already told us all we need to know about the real problem. About the world, where it's going. But the real problem is in the church and the direction that it's taking and the people who are following the leaders. See, they see no fulfillment of God's word taking place. Now, first of all, verse 18, chapter 2, verse 18 reads, "Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time." You know, John went from last time we looked at the world passing away to now in this verse, it's the last time. You know, many of us don't realize that we've been living in the last times ever since Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The first coming of Jesus was in the last days. Hebrews 1:1 and 2 says, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners in time past, spake in time past unto the fathers by prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." You know, the death of Jesus was in the last days. Hebrews 9:26. "For then he must often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Now, in the KJV, the word world there means age, or this dispensation, the age of grace. The Holy Spirit, we're told, came in the last days. And the church age runs its course in the last days. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, "Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Now, if the Corinthian believers were living in the end of the age, surely we are now living in the end of the age, the last days. We're told in 2 Peter 3, knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You know, it was several years after that, Jude wrote, they're murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speak great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own godly lusts. These they be who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Now, it's been some 2,000 years since Jesus was born, and God's program is running not only on schedule, but according to every word that he proclaimed, every one of them. 2 Peter 3 again says, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15:24 says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even as the Father, when he shall have put down rule and authority and power. Now, we're told in our text here in verse 18 that little children, it's the last time that the Antichrist shall come. Notice that that's emphatic, shall come. We don't have to wonder about it or worry about it, but he shall come. But we're also told there that there are many Antichrists already in the world at that stage. So how much more of a truth is it of that today? Now, anti, we know, you don't have to be a scholar to understand, it means opposite or against. And in the last days, many people will be against or opposite to Christ. There will be many deceivers, many false prophets. And these antichrists are plural, so they're not talking about the man of sin, the antichrist himself. They're his forerunners. Because it's not until the rapture that the rapture of the church will the man of sin be unveiled. Now we're told in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. See, he shall come. There is no doubt about that. He will be a real person, but he will also be running what we would call a real system. And as a person, he will set up a system, a system of lawlessness and ungodliness that this world has never known before. You think it's bad now, praise God, we won't be here when that happens. And as an inspiration, and I don't mean that in a good way, I mean it in a bad way, he is always present. Now, 1 John 4:3, it says, every spirit that confesseth not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So that spirit, that system of ungodliness of the Antichrist is already in the world. And Jesus, he said to his own people, the Jews, in John 5:40, he says, I'm come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him will ye receive. And that another is the Antichrist. He'll be a real person as well as a real system. A system that rules in the world, it's ruling today. Now, God's kingdom, we know Matthew 6, is a kingdom of righteousness. And the kingdom of the Antichrist, it will be a kingdom of lawlessness, a human system which will be at complete odds with God and his righteousness. And his reign, the Antichrist's reign, will have to do with three cities. That will be Jerusalem, Babylon, and Rome. Now, the Antichrist among us today, they're here as never before. Even in John's day, there were many, and they deny Christ and everything he claimed. They will also say that they are Christ, which many people do today. But all those who deny him are in truth anti or opposite Christ. Now, as in John's day, today there is great opposition to the truth of Jesus. And today it is more and more and more so. You know, there was a time in my day where you had true Bible teaching in schools. It was allowed and it was encouraged. And today they just want to take it away. They want morality classes. You know, what's moral today? Anything goes. And as in John's day, there's great opposition to the truth. You know, the scripture's true. There's nothing new under the sun. And when true Christianity is active, there is always the attempt to meet it with something that resembles Christianity, but in reality is not Christianity at all. You see, they've replaced Christ with priests who can forgive sin. They've multiplied rites. And by rites, I mean religious rites. There's a church authority that people not dare go outside of. There's the merits of saints. You see, they substitute Jesus with hero worship, and they proclaim today signs and wonders and health and wealth and prosperity. They're proclaiming that they're raising people from the dead and ascending and into heaven and descending into hell, all of which is the opposite to biblical truth. That therefore makes them what? Antichrist. See, there are those antichrists who deny the number one foundational truth of our faith, and that is that Jesus was God in flesh in this world. Second point is a warning about salvation. Verse 19, if you look at that. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. You see, these antichrists spoken of here, notice, they're members of a local church. Members of the body of Christ. In other words, what I'm talking about, they're active inside the church. But notice what John says. They're not of us. They're not of us. See, to become a member of the church of the living God, the body of Christ, one must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and these antichrists denied that truth. You see, they had joined with the local church, but notice that they went out from it. Why? Simple. They weren't part of it. They joined in name, but they had never truly been born into the family of God or been a born-again believer. And now many today, unfortunately, from pulpits, people are being taught, oh, they're just backsliders. But these people here aren't backsliders. There are backsliders. I know there's backsliders. I've been one myself, and you've probably been one yourself at some stage. But these ones here today were never born again in heart and experience. They were never members of the true church. There are those who believe and teach that all people who come into church are members of the church. They're all Christians. Everyone who goes to church is a born-again believer. They're saved. So when many turn their back on the church and turn their back on God and deny him and want nothing to do with him anymore, all they like to say is, oh, they're just backsliders. But all the backsliders I know have never denied God and said, no, he's not real. All the backsliders I know have always struggled in their walk. But the majority of the time, those people have never truly been born again. Now, Peter described them for us in 2 Peter 2:20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For if it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. You know, so true born again people follow after righteousness, and before men prove the new birth. Those who are wallowing in unrighteousness all the time, and I'm talking about their complete way of life, have never been made new in the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 2:29 or 2 Corinthians 5:17 will tell us that. Now the word antichrist, it means instead of that, there are those who profess to follow Christ, but all the time their hearts are opposed to him. You know, men and women who call themselves ministers get behind pulpits in our country and they use their position to deny Christ. They water down the incarnation. They deny the miracles, the virgin birth, his atoning death, his shed blood, his bodily resurrection. They don't believe he is returning again. They deny him by changing the word of God. They take bits out of it and add bits to it. They deny him by promoting same-sex marriage, that's okay. Gender rights, they say, is a part of God's plan. They take part in marches, they speak up in meetings. They preach from the pulpit. Everything is fine. Why? Because God is just a God of love. Doesn't matter what you do or how you behave. They forget that God is also a consuming fire, a jealous God. Hebrews 12:28 says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. See, if these believers were true believers, we are told they would no doubt, verse 19 tells us, would have continued with us. But what did they do? They went out so it would be made manifest that they were not all of us. You see, there's a great truth given to us here. It's declared that true, born-again, blood-washed believers continue in the faith. They may at times grow weak. They may slip back, but never do they completely turn their backs on God, his word, or his church. And there's no middle ground, no excuses. If they had been of us, notice what it says, they would no doubt have continued with us. So they went out, they left, they turned their backs on other believers. Why? So it would be made manifest that not everyone was all of us. You know, the one thing you can stand assurance, and one thing that's kept me in line is the knowledge to know that God always exposes error. Always. And listen, all who walk in the light can recognize error. Now, it's possible for an antichrist to stay in a local church without being found out, but that's only for a season. Only a season. They cannot continue long without a true believer recognizing them for what they are, and that's a counterfeit. See, in God's true church, he will not long allow the liberals and the modernists to live under the disguise of a minister. He'll expose them for what they are. Sooner or later, that person will say something, do something, teach something that brands them anti-Bible, anti-Christian, and that makes them anti-what? Christ. Thirdly, there's a warning here about deception. Verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, what a wonderful and comforting truth that every born-again believer has the unction. In other words, that's the anointing from the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the guide, the one who leads us into the paths of right living, the one who guides us around the pitfalls, keeps us away from the, shows us when the devil's laid his traps. 2 Corinthians 1:21, now he, that's the Holy Spirit, which established us with you in Christ, has anointed us, is God, who has sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit which is in our hearts. Peter reminds us, 1 Peter 2:6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. John 7:17, if any man will do his will, he should know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. You see, when the believer who really knows God, who really desires to do God's will, he'll know the teaching of the truth. He or she, they won't be led about by every wind of doctrine. They'll not be led astray by the doctrine of Antichrist. And those who don't recognize error, those who don't know true doctrine from false doctrine, those who want to live the opposite to what Christ has called us to live, need to do one thing, and that is be born again. You see, the Holy Spirit guides the believer into all truth. That's what John 16:13 tells us. And we can know all things. Why? Because he's the one who dictated the Bible to holy men of old. He's the one who resides in our heart as a teacher and a guide. Now, in our text, 1 John 2 and 21 and 22, John says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. You know, we don't have to have it made any clearer to us. It's written to those who know the truth. Truth and error do not mix. God is light, he is not twilight. And believers, whether they're little born ones, young men, or fathers, know the truth. John 14:6, clear, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, he said. And Antichrist, the man of sin, he'll be the opposite. You know, in Thessalonians we're told that people who sit in church and not saved, they'll believe a lie. In the original Greek, it's the lie. So if Jesus is the truth, who's the lie? It's Satan himself. We're told in verse 23, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Now we're reminded in 2 John chapter 1, many deceivers have entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come unto the flesh. This is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not the things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. You know, this is a warning to us not to support anyone or anything that has changed the true doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they're just a bit mixed up. Oh, we're all on the same path. We're just going to get there different ways. No. There's only one way, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now in our text, verse 24, let that therefore abide in you which you've heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, He shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. You know, believers, we are encouraged, in fact, we're commanded here to hold steadfast to the declaration of the gospel. We are to live the gospel truths. We are to walk as Christ walked. We are to love as Christ loved. We are to live to the glory of God just as he did, and we follow his will no matter where it leads. You know, we are united to the Son, united to the Father, born of the Spirit, and we are hidden with Christ in God. What a wonderful position to be in. Now look at verse 25. And this is the promise that he had promised us, even eternal life. You know, Isaiah 55:6 reminds us, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You know, John 3:18 reminds us, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. The Philippian jailer, he asked Paul and Silas a question. He brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Now, why does John written all this to us? Verse 26 of our text. He's written them unto you concerning them that seduce you. He's talking about them who lead astray. You see, they're being warned about teachers who would turn them aside from the real truth of the gospel. Now, we have to remember something. These Christians did not have Bibles at home. Full finished Bibles. They never had them. Who's got more than one Bible in the house? Amen. Who's got more than two? Three? Four? Yeah, they're everywhere. What excuse do we have? There's no excuse. We have the written word of God. We can measure and we can be taught what is true or false. You know, we know if the message is the gospel or if it's against the gospel. We can measure the preacher or the man's message and know if he's a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ or a minister of the devil. Now, these people haven't been led astray. They're being warned in case a false teacher comes in and tries to lead them astray. You know, the next verse makes it very clear that believers are kept from error because of the teacher within them. Verse 27, by the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has been taught you, you shall abide in him. Now that anointing there is the same word used for unction in verse 20. You know, before Jesus was crucified, he promised the coming of the Holy Spirit, John 14:16-20. The Holy Spirit does what? He convicts of sin and draws men to God, John 6:44. He borns us into the family of God, John 1:12-13. He baptizes us into the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. He indwells and leads and assures us, Romans 8:9-14-16. And he seals us until the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30. So from the moment we are saved until we go to be with the Lord, the Holy Spirit is working in us. He brings to memory and teaches us all we need to know about spiritual matters. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, the only way to understand the things of God is first be born again, truly born again, Have the Holy Spirit in you, who is now your teacher and teaches you all things that are right. You know, and we need to praise God for good, solid Bible schools, for good, solid Bible teachers, who themselves are not good because they're good, but because they're taught of the Spirit. But listen, all their teachings would be nothing, we're told, but a sounding brass and tinkling cymbals if it were not for the Holy Spirit within and His applying of the message to our hearts. That's what makes it real, brothers and sisters. That's how we know the truth from error. That's how we live in unity with our Lord. You see, teachers can help us to know, to study, to train our minds, but the real deeper things of God, of the Spirit, are revealed to us by the Spirit. You see, He leads us to truth. He guides us in the truth. And no one has ever, ever been led into false doctrine by the Holy Spirit. He leads us around them. He guides us through them, not into them. And as He teaches, we are to obey His teaching. We're to walk in the light, abide in Him. And to abide in Him is to abide in Christ. And if we are abiding in Christ, then that believer continues in the Word. Then that believer will not be deceived by these wolves in sheep's clothing who are anti-Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the wonderful gift of the Comforter, for the Holy Spirit, for Your Word. We thank You that as we're filled with the Spirit, we see the truth. We can apply the truth, and we can know all things necessary to walk worthy of You. We thank You, Lord, for all You have done for us. And Lord, give us the discernment to know the truth. Lord, that comes from being led and guided by Your Spirit. And may we not, Lord, try and live this life on our own, but be surrendered to Your leading and just walk worthy of You, coming unto a spiritual knowledge of Your will for our lives, understanding, Lord, that You gave Yourself for us. You shed Your blood to cover every sin. Lord, we pray that we would acknowledge You as the only true God. And Lord, we are without excuse to fall for the pitfalls of the devil. Thank You for Your grace. These things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.